This is the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network podcast. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Matt Perrault, Eileen Falkenberg-Hull, and Mike Herzing.
Here we are at the national launch of the new Hyundai Venue. And who would I run across? Our good buddy, Eileen Falkenberg-Hull from Automotive Map. Eileen, what do you think about the new Venue?
Well, like everything else in the current Hyundai lineup, it is very impressive. What did you think, Mike?
Well, I liked it. You know, I mean, I know it's entry level, and it's one of those things that people say, instead of buying a used five-year-old Camry or Accord, let's buy a new one of these. And it has all the latest safety stuff and all the backup warnings and lane divergent stuff and all that. I mean, it was really neat. And they start at, what, $17,000. So it's a deal.
Yeah, it starts at $17,000, and it starts with a 6-speed manual transmission. So that's a big get for a lot of the manual fans out there. But I think it's a really, really good value proposition. That's what Hyundai's been good at. This is consistently that. And it's, again, a very impressive entry.
Yeah, they're doing really well, and this is a nice vehicle. You know, I like the Kona. I'm not excited about the turn signals in the back, but I like the Kona. It's been a nice vehicle, but this is really a subcompact, and it competes with like the Kicks and some of the Chevy Trax and things like that. And I think it does a great job.
Yeah, I think, you know, I really like the exterior when it comes to the paint jobs. They've got a bunch of different really fun colors. They've got some two-tone paint jobs that I think are great. I'm not so excited about the grille, but it does fall into line with what you see in the Sonata and what you see in the Palisade, so I guess we'll accept it. But that doesn't mean I like it, but it is okay. But looks-wise, it's cute. I mean, it's just like the Kicks is. It's great to view from the curb. That's what they always say for the Kicks, and it's true here for the Venue as well. What do you think of the engine? I know it's a small engine, but it's also a small car.
Well, it's a CVT transmission, although it seems like a pretty decent CVT. If you put it in sport mode and you punch it, it goes okay, but from a dead stop and you floor it, it's still a CVT. I would love to have driven that, and we didn't have it here, the manual. I think that would be the magic deal.
Well, I have heard the manual's good from other reviewers, but I will say that the 1.6-liter four-cylinder, it's pretty good. I mean, 121 horsepower, 113 pound-feet of torque. The car is small, but it is capable, especially in city driving situations, which is, you know, what it's geared for. What I was really impressed about is that it is so much more powerful feeling than the Kicks.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, the engine is just head and shoulders above where the Kicks is. And I know that the Kicks is running on that second-generation engine, that the Versa now has the third generation of that engine, which is a little bit better. So hopefully the Kicks will be getting better. But this one, I mean, you're going on an on-ramp, you're going uphill, you don't feel like you have to paddle to go faster. You feel like it's actually capable of picking up traffic. No problems on the highway, no problems getting down into the Keys here in Florida. I mean, it was a really decent drive.
It really was. And, you know, and the car is surprisingly roomy. I love that you open up the hatch and it's got plenty of room there. The seats can fold down. And it's not, I got in the back seat and okay, I fit. Was it the same as being in a, you know, a Lexus? No, but it's a nice fit. And for the people that are entry level, you know, you've got a kid that's going into college or coming out of college, and you need a car that's good, that's great. But like you said, you want to buy a used car, you want to be a used Accord or Camry or Corolla or something, you're going to have to get something four, five, 6 years old. This one has a warranty, 5 years, you know, 50,000 miles, and then 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. You're getting a vehicle with a warranty and all the latest safety stuff for about the same price.
Right. That's what Hyundai does really well. We talk about that bang for your buck factor. They're right there for that. And I think it does make sense for a newer driver. I know when I was a kid, you know, you always get your parents' Camry or your parents' Accord. Well, now, you know, for $17,000 out the door, you're getting a standard 8-inch touchscreen, which that's important to everybody these days, it seems. You're not compromising with that 5-inch little digital display.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you've got the automatic transmission, you know, for an extra $1,200 based on the base price, which that's important to new drivers as well. A lot of them don't like the manual, even though you do have that as your base model. But you also have Apple CarPlay standard, Android Auto standard, a whole host of safety features, but they're not intrusive safety features. It's not a nanny system, as you know, what the car driver always used to call it. You don't have that. You do feel like you are in control of the vehicle, very easy to drive. I was really impressed with the turning radius. Did you get a chance to mess up your directions and make a U-turn like I did?
Oh, yeah. I did. As a matter of fact, I was coming and they flagged me down. I slammed on the brakes, and anti-lock brakes works really good. But one annoying thing, and I really don't like it, is when you go to the lane divergence and you get over to the edge of the lane, it has this a really annoying loud beep. And I'm hoping there's a way to turn it down just a little bit.
Well, you can turn off the lane keep assist and lane departure warning. I did find that out.
I like it. I just don't want it so loud.
Oh, see, I didn't go in and try that. But I do agree that the safety systems are a little loud. And I did find out, too, you know, it does the automatic turn signal for you. So you hit it lightly and it goes, you know, four blinks or whatever.
Right.
But if you're one of the people like I am, where you hit it and then you get over into your lane, you get comfortably into your lane quickly, and your still turn signal is still on because of that automatic feature, then you've got your blind spot monitoring warning going off. So you're getting beeps from every angle. And that can be a little confusing. It can be a little bit annoying. But, you know, it's keeping you safe. So I can appreciate that. But at the same time, it'd be nice to turn down those noises. You're right.
Yeah, for a new driver, you're right. That would be great. Of course, you and I zip around through traffic and things like that. And in Miami, if you're, the speed limit's 60, if you're doing 80, they're going to run over you. And this is kind of like Texas. But it drives good. It handles good. It's not real loud on the highway. It seems like a more expensive car. Now, the one we had was loaded with about 23, which means that's sticker. So you can get it off of sticker, I'm sure, especially after the first 6 months or so. It's a nice car. I think it's going to make a lot of people really, really happy. And in its segment, I think it's a segment leader.
I think it is. I think it's doing really, really good things for Hyundai. I mean, it's competing where it needs to. But I do have to ask, when we talk about segment leading, how did you do on fuel economy? I know you've got a bit of a lead foot, Mike. So how did you do? Did you check it before you parked it?
Yeah, it was 34.
That's not bad.
And we were driving it, we were just driving it stupid, driving as fast as we could. We were getting 31. So, you know, if I'm going to drive a tiny car, and it's not that tiny, but if I'm going to drive a small car, subcompact, maybe to zip around town or back and forth to work or something, it better get good fuel economy, and it does.
Yeah, I think 34, I mean, I was getting 38, 36 at times.
Oh, really? Just bragging, aren't you?
Well, you know, I'm slightly less of a lead foot than you. I do think that when you're going around in traffic and you're getting that 36, 38, that's about on par with what you get in a lot of hybrids. Now, not the Corolla hybrid, which is new and quite the exceptional vehicle, but, you know, just the regular hybrids.
Yeah, but it's a lot more money.
Yeah, it is a lot more money. It is a lot more money. It's 10,000.
A lot more money. Yeah, 10,000. You can almost buy another car.
Right. And now the Corolla Hybrid's almost the same fuel efficiency as a Prius. So really, I mean, that is an outstanding choice. But I mean, for 34, 36 in the city for an SUV. Now the question is, do you like it better than you like the Kia Soul? Because that's a little bit about the same size, and I think that's going to be a really tough competitor for this Hyundai Venue.
I like this one better than the Soul. I really do. And you know, one other thing else I noticed? I didn't ever have stop-start come on. So I guess it doesn't have the stop-start. Every time we went to a stop, it never died, which means it must be clean and good enough fuel economy where they didn't need to do it. And I think that's awesome.
Well, I do agree with that. I think it is great fuel efficiency-wise, and I do like the way the engine performs. I will have to say, though, that unlike the Soul, which we see, it has about the exact same ride height, exact same seating position. Without this, it doesn't drive like the Soul, which means it's engaging, it's comfortable, it's easy to handle. I always say the Soul kind of feels like you're driving a cinder block. So this doesn't have that. This engine is also worlds above where the Soul is, but you're getting very comparable dimensions. So if you are shopping for a Kia Soul, you might want to check out the Hyundai Venue because it is in my opinion, a much better vehicle. Yeah. And it's cheaper. It's a lot cheaper than the Soul is.
If you're looking at the Kicks or the Chevy Trax the Ford Eco.
The EcoSport.
EcoSport. Okay, this one just kills them.
Yeah, this is way better than the current Trax, way better than the EcoSport. I mean, it is definitely a vehicle worth testing out. I'm interested to see, you know, it's a little bit smaller than the Kia Seltos, which is about the same size as the Kona. And those are both about the same size as the Chevy Trailblazer, the new Trailblazer that's coming out. There's a lot of small SUVs coming into the market, but I do think Hyundai puts a really big emphasis on bang for your buck, as well as drivability and safety and infotainment. And there they check all those boxes. And I think it's a really good effort by the company.
Well, you know, it just seems that these are early production or pre-production models. The fit and finish was better than I thought it was going to be. The car was more comfortable. The seats are nice and firm. You can adjust them to where actually everybody fits. I was with Tim Healy. He's a big old boy. He has no problem fitting in there. They've done really well. I just remember when you bought an entry-level, inexpensive car, it wasn't nearly this nice. And they've really done a lot of work.
Yeah, I really like the way they styled the interior in this. It is, I think, head and shoulders above the Kona. I wasn't too keen on that. This is a higher quality, I think, than what the Kona has inside at a lower price point. I did a comment on the drive back about how comfortable the seats are. Hyundai's done an excellent job with passenger space and with the seat options and comfortability. No matter if you're tall or small, you can fit in this comfortably. Now, the back seat is obviously for smaller people. That's just what you get in this segment. But, you know, that does open itself up. It's a good car. It's good for empty nesters. You know, people starting out on a budget. You don't have any kids. You're paying off your student loans. A $20,000 version of this car is an excellent choice.
Yeah, it really is. And the warranty. Like I said, you're going to buy. You're talking about the Chevy Trax and the Toyotas and things like that. None of them have this good of a warranty, and that's a big deal. Especially if you're looking at, I'm trying to set my. These are my costs. I have fixed costs. Well, you got a warranty coverage for the first 5 years. Or as it 50 or 60,000 miles, that's going to be, I have no cost. I mean, just have maintenance costs, which is not much. Oil changes, okay, and filters. Other than that, everything that breaks is going to be handled. You know, door handle breaks, whatever breaks, they're going to handle it. That's neat. And then all the big money, you know, the powertrain stuff is handled too. So I think for people that are looking for an entry-level car, maybe you're an older guy person and you just want a neat little car to zip around in, put it behind, drag it behind your motorhome, you do any of that kind of stuff, it's great. You want a college kid car, maybe a graduation from high school, and they can keep it for several years until they get established in the workforce. That's a great car.
And one thing I really liked that we haven't talked about yet is their snow mode. So we know that the Venue only comes with front-wheel drive. And for a lot of people in the Northeast, that's a really, really, and I guess Pacific Northwest, it's a big deal not to have the all-wheel drive. But this snow mode offers the type of traction you need if you're in slippery conditions. When we tried it out today, now we're in Miami, so we didn't really try it out, but we tried it out on some spinners to see how it worked. And I was really impressed with it. I mean, it does what you think it's going to do, and it does it well.
Yeah, and that's why you don't really need it. If you really need all-wheel drive, but most people that know how to drive, all-wheel drive is not real good. So we're running out of time. Anything else you want to close with?
Nope, just that we're very impressed with the Hyundai, and good job, Hyundai.
Yeah, thank you. All right, folks, we got more to come on the show. Hey, folks, Mike Herzing, Let's Talk Wheels. It's a beautiful Saturday, but the other day I had a chance to talk to Mike Evanoff from Product Planning about the new Hyundai Venue. You know, I spent last week in Miami and the Keys learning all about the Hyundai, and I'm really impressed with it. It drives really well. And Mike, welcome to Let's Talk Wheels.
Great. Thank you very much. Great to talk with you again.
All right. Tell me, this new vehicle, I mean, one of my favorite little entry-level vehicles, and we were talking about that. A lot of times people talk about, I'm going to buy a used car and things like that. But for this price, you can get a new car. But they have so many features nowadays. This is a great alternative to buying a used car.
Yeah, we definitely think so. I mean, there was 41 million, you know, used cars sold last year, and about a third of those people wanted to buy new, but, you know, had to buy a used car for various reasons. And so we want to give the opportunity for especially younger buyers, get a great car, great warranty, you know, with the 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain, a lot of connectivity with the standard 8-inch audio that has Apple CarPlay and Android Auto, and give them a safe car with all the airbags and, you know, the modern safety equipment to keep them from, you know, considering a used car.
Now, the Venue, you know, I always like the accent hatchback. I wasn't all the fan of the sedan, although they sell more sedans than hatchbacks. But this thing is like $17,000-$18,000, and that's the sticker. I know you can probably get a little better deal than that. It's a nice vehicle, lots of good things. And is this a subcompact CUV?
Yeah, subcompact SUV, basically. And you refer to the Accent hatchback. You know, I was a big fan of that car. Actually, we had a Sport Edition.
Yeah.
With a manual transmission.
Yeah.
It was a fun little car. And so when we launched the 18 model year Accent as only a sedan, you know, I got a lot of questions from media. Well, where's the hatchback? And I had to kind of keep quiet, fully aware that, you know, this was coming about 18 months down the road. So this is kind of the spiritual successor to that Accent hatchback. And with the popularity, obviously, of SUVs, it makes, you know, perfect sense.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people that just getting into the workforce, maybe out of college or maybe even going into college, and they need an inexpensive car, but they want all the cool features. I mean, think about this. I'm going to buy a 3- or 4-year-old Camry. Maybe 5-year-old Camry and
or more,
and then okay, with no warranty and buying a used car, or I can buy this thing new. Now, when you think about that, back up 4 or 5 years, that bought you an entry level car that was just four wheels. You know, right. I remember the old Nissan Versa and stuff like that. Okay, yeah, but it was just four wheels and maybe a air conditioning and a radio. Mm-hmm. Now your vehicle has got is that price, and it's got everything. It's got, I mean, it's got cruise control, and it's got all the blind spot monitoring and all the airbags and all of the different automatic braking. I mean, I've lost count of all the stuff it has.
Yeah, the biggest one I think is that Hyundai Smart Sense, which is our suite of safety technology, which is the forward collision avoidance assist, also lane keeping assist, high beam assist, and driver attention warning. So yeah, all that stuff was not even available a couple years ago, especially at this kind of price point in a used car. And it's also, I think it's a right size footprint. You know, you can get your gear in it. We did a lot of research with the younger buyers, and the side hustle is a big thing for people today.
Yeah,
so you can use this on the weekend to do whatever you need to do, and I think it's kind of like one size fits all.
Well, yeah, it is a nice vehicle, and like I said, you guys have always been aware of the value proposition, okay, without giving up nice stuff.
Right, that's always, been our goal is to provide that value proposition, and we think we've done it here. But we've also, at Hyundai, we've moved on in other directions, too, with the eco-friendly cars, the performance cars with Veloster N. So we're expanding, that vision, too. But I think Venue, it fits in below the Kona in our lineup, and I think it provides a very solid transportation. And like you said, has a lot of technology that you wouldn't find, in a used car.
Well, I love this thing. I mean, I really liked it a lot more. I mean, would I buy one? Probably not. I want something a little bit bigger, but for a lot of people, this is a good value proposition, a good vehicle. It's not loud on the highway. It performs really well, even with a CVT transmission, which I don't really like those, but yours is palatable. I can live with it. Plenty of power and great fuel economy, over 30. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, for a lot of people, and then they get a warranty. So you're not having to worry about for several, like, what is it, 6 years, 60,000 mile bumper to bumper, and then the 10-year, or 560, excuse me, and then and you've got the 10-year, 100,000 mile powertrain. So all your big expense is covered by Hyundai. So it's really, if you're getting out of college or you're going into college, you want to have a car to go through the college in, and then your first job or two, this would be a great vehicle.
Yeah, and you talk about that CVT. When I first heard, we were starting to implement or adopt CVTs in the lineup, because I handle all the cars, and especially the small cars, I got a little concerned. And when I first started driving them early on, I'm like, hey, this is actually not bad. This is pretty good. And they spent, it's our in-house designed, we call it IVT, Intelligent Variable Transmission. And there's some, things in the inside of the case that really make it a palatable, I think is the word you use.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I went into it, it's a CVT, and I'm like, oh, yeah. But it's a pretty nice CVT. I mean, it performed dramatically better than I was expecting.
Yeah, and I've had the opportunity, we've adopted it to the...
Oh, and I mean that in a nice way.
Right. We've adopted it to the Elantra and the Accent, so I had the opportunity to drive what it had when a 6AT, and then when it had an IVT. It's actually faster with the IVT. It always seems to be in the heart of the sweet spot of the torque and everything. So yeah, it moves the car around. This car was also basically designed, we said, for younger buyers, but also, as younger buyers and young people, millennials, move more into the city centers, that small footprint is very much an advantage, parking, maneuverability, but you still got a lot of cargo capacity. So it is like the best of both worlds.
You're exactly right. And okay, tell the folks the difference between the CVT and the IVT.
Well, the...
I know that might be a little technical.
Yeah, I wish Mike O'Brien was here because he could do that. But we use a different chain material.
Oh, that's right. Instead of it's a link chain instead of
a steel belt.
A steel belt, right.
Yeah, so and it actually has very good response. The gear ratio spread is one of the largest in the industry, from 1 to 7. I think Subaru is the only one because of 1 to 7. Corolla, Civic, they're like 5.5 to 6.5 in that range. So that gives you more flexibility, more, when you step on the gas, you can get, immediate response. But then cruising on the highway, you're at a low RPM, not the drone. The early CVTs really had this droning sound because you were always like high in the RPMs.
And it was a rubber band. I mean, yes. You punch it, it was like stretching the rubber band, and then you catch up.
Yeah.
And the other three that you just mentioned, they still have it that way.
Pretty much. I mean, they've made some changes over the years. Other manufacturers do this too, but we put simulated shifts into
so
it feels like more of a conventional automatic transmission. I think one of the thing about CVTs in the beginning is it never shifted. So if you really wanted to pass somebody or get onto a freeway, because in California we have, you got to stop at the on ramp at certain times and basically floor it to get into traffic.
Right.
And you would just go up to red line and just kind of stay there until you let your foot off the gas. And that was that rubber band effect that you would feel, but you don't get that at all in this car.
Well, you know, you're right. It's not. I mean, Nissan makes a good CVT also, and the rest of them are kind of way behind you guys. And this is a nice unit. The car drives nice. And who is your buyer? I mean, if somebody, we were talking about people that are wanting to use cars, do you have an age range that are really going to be popular? I mean, old folks are going to love this thing because it's very utility, and it's not expensive, and you could drag it behind a motorhome.
Yeah, so I think I like to think about it more in life stages.
Okay.
You know,
don't tell me I've been the last.
No, but we've talked about millennials, obviously. This was designed actually in our advanced design studio, which is in the basement below our headquarters in Seoul. And so they really put their mind to developing what that next, you know, generation of millennial buyer would want to get. So that's definitely our main target. But as you mentioned, I think, you know, with the higher ride height, it's about 16 to the, we call it the H point, but like basically where you sit in the vehicle,
right,
measured from your hip to the ground, it's about 16 to 18% higher than our Accent and Elantra. So it's a little bit ingress and egress to get in and out of the vehicle is a little bit easier. It's got the small footprint. It's got all the cargo capacity. So I think, an older generation would be very much attracted to that as well.
Well, it's got a nice hatchback. Mm-hmm. You can open it up and it's got the seats fold down, and there's a lot, fair amount of room if you want to go to Home Depot or Lowe's, or you're going to go get a big box of something. It works.
Right.
The car thing says zips around traffic. It doesn't feel, one thing I do want to applaud you guys on, it doesn't feel real plasticky. I mean, it's not just, it doesn't look like I'm in an Econo box. You know what I mean? I know not everybody's are better than they used to be, but yours seems to be a really nice vehicle. I do like the Kona. The Kona in its segment is my favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And you look like you took some of the accents, the things from the Kona, and put it on the Venue.
Yeah, it's absolutely. And, you know, you talk about the plastics, and there's different levels of plastics, but...
It's money. I know that. You got to cut the money somewhere.
The price point is very important, but, you know, you can texture it, you can grain it with the right, the top of the dash has a nice, technical grain to it, some other variations, so you can make it a little more interesting just in a sea of black plastic. So I think, the designers did a really good to make that interior really, really nice, and everything's, it's fairly simple and straightforward, the interior, but that's fine. Everything's right at hand, right where you need it, everything's laid out. You can jump in this car immediately and know where everything is. There's no searching around.
Right, it's pretty simple, and I really like that.
Yeah, and I think, once again, for this price point and this customer, I mean, that makes perfect sense.
Well, that's also very nice. Now, if you're going to buy, you're looking at this Venue, what other vehicles are your competitors?
I think the first one that comes to mind is the Nissan Kicks.
Right.
Because that kind of took the place of the Juke that they had originally.
Yeah, that was a crazy car.
That was a wacky car. It definitely stood out. So they went a little bit more conventional this time with the Kicks. But Kicks is, larger. But I think Venue's got its advantage in its footprint. Also, I guess Ford EcoSport.
Mm-hmm.
And Chevy Trax.
There you go.
So, I mean, those are, anything below Kona, that's small. It's a 99-inch wheelbase. There's not a lot of vehicles in that arena, but I think we definitely, brought something to market that'll appeal to consumers.
Folks, this is Mike Hersey with Let's Talk Wheels. We're in the Florida Keys talking to Mike Evanoff. He's product planner, senior product planner from Hyundai. And you guys, how long did it take you to design this thing?
Wow. Okay. So I think I should.
Yeah, it wasn't easy.
Yeah. Because I'm always working on different cars, and they're always in different places in their development. I've probably been working on it. I wasn't obviously part of the advanced design team. I get, sometime a little bit.
Well, how long does it take somebody like Hyundai to come up with this car?
I'd say 5 to 6 years. I mean,
okay.
From the original concept and everything to when we get our first prototype vehicles and then start a production, about that time.
Well, when you think about that, folks, having to guess what the market's going to want,
yes,
and what everybody he's going to want, and what the nation's going to be, and the economy, and all this stuff 5 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
That takes some work and some pretty smart folks.
Yep, absolutely. And we've got a team all over the world, and everybody's pulling the same direction and trying to make the best value and best car we can for the shoppers in all markets.
Well, it's funny. Then we talk about how some of these cars may come out and it's a miss, like the Juke, for example, and they were like, I wonder why that car didn't. But they have to plan it 5 or 6 years earlier. And so what might be cool right now isn't by the time it comes out.
Right. And often in our profession, and you talk about that Juke, I mean, they were starting probably working on the next generation when that car launched. You know, usually I'll launch this car and I'll start working on the next, or we'll start working on the next one 6 months to a year from now.
Yeah.
So
well, you're talking about that. All right. Stop just 1 second. I know we're getting low on time. But when you see that, you're working on when you go to work on the next generation,
mm-hmm,
do you look and see for the first 6 months what the buyers like, what they don't like, what they want to change, and then what's available in the future? How do you guys do all that?
Yeah, absolutely. And when I came to Hyundai, that was one of the first things I was really impressed with, is we really do listen to our consumers. We'll do our own we call early buyer study. So we'll send out, you know, surveys to buyers, you know, first off, and ask them, you know, a whole battery multitude of questions. What exactly that? What do you like? What you don't like? And we use a lot of that data. And we'll do other research.
What do you wish we had?
Right, exactly. What are the features that's missing? What features that you have that you like, and rank them? So we use all that.
Do you ever ask them what features do they really not use?
I think
sort of.
It kind of comes out. We'll give, you know, the list of the features and rank it 1 to 10. You know, on a scale of 1 to 10, and just, you know, from the scoring and the metrics, you'll find what's at the top and what's at the bottom. And so that kind of, you know, gives you what you need to focus on.
I know, folks, you're going to ask me, hey, what you got coming down the pike? What's going to happen 4 or 5 years from now, Mike? And he said, he told me earlier that he says, if he told me, he'd have to kill me. So, you know, then I wouldn't be able to talk to you. But yeah, they've got, what this is the part of the automotive industry that's so interesting, is how you guys can work on something and figure something 5 years from now.
Yeah, absolutely. And that comes down to the research, you know, that we do. That's very important in developing that next vehicle.
Yeah, it really is. All right, Mike Evanoff, Product Planning, Hyundai. Where can we find out more information online about the new Venue, besides hitting the dealers?
Hyundai.com. It's on the website. It's been in dealers since about November, December, so that'd be the best place to go.
Yeah, every time I drive by a Hyundai, there's a big banner say Venue and things like that. Hey, thanks for joining us today, and we got a lot more information here on the show, and we'll see you on Facebook and Instagram all about the Venue. You're going to really like it, folks.
Hey, guys, this week I was driving the 2020 Mercedes-Benz GLB 250, and the model I had was the 4MATIC model, which means it's all-wheel drive. All right, folks, this is a compact CUV, which seems to be what everybody's wanting right now. This is what's really, really selling a lot. That may be, like, for example, like the Ford Escape and things like that. That's their number one seller. This thing is going to be sell like crazy too. It's brand new for 2020, and it kind of fits in between the GLA and the GLC numerically, alphabetically, and everything else. And it's a nice size. It is. I always thought the GLA was a little bit small. But really, this starts out with a low price of $37,500, which is really inexpensive for a luxury SUV. But if you equip it the way you really want, it's going to be closer like everybody else is. It's like a Lexus or any of the Volvos or anything like that. As a matter of fact, if you're looking at this kind of vehicle, the customer that would want to buy this would be looking at maybe at a BMW X1 or a Volvo XC40 or even the Q3 Audi. And those are all really nice vehicles. This one is surprisingly roomy. And one thing I like about this, it's not all angles and things. Like, I had a Jaguar F-Pace the other day, and it was the back seat, it really slopes to the rear. This one doesn't. This one is a little boxy. And I kind of like that about it. This is kind of a neat, boxy little vehicle. It looks more like an SUV ought to look. And I happen to be partial to those. It's got a little four-cylinder, 2-liter turbo, 221 horsepower, which is good. It's not a rocket ship by any means, but it does pretty good, especially if you put it in the Matt Perrault sport mode, which is really cool. It has all the dynamic driving modes and things like that. And mine had a lot of options, but let me start about this. It's got start and stop, and I hate the start and stop. It's a little bit rough on this vehicle. Some vehicles handle a little bit better, but luckily you can push a little button and override it every time. That's nice. As far as electronics and things like that, it's got the new MBUX infotainment system, and it's optional, which this one had, a 10.25-inch display, and this thing's screen is basically your instrument panel goes all the way across to about halfway across the dash, and so it's very rectangular. It's really kind of neat, and the inside of this car looks pretty luxurious. It really is. It's just comfortable. It's got this model had some optionals, heated and cooled seats and things like that. But let me go back to the convenience and comfort stuff. It has Apple CarPlay, Android Auto, Bluetooth, obviously, 8-way power seats, rain-sensing wipers, split folding rear seats, which is kind of nice. If you want to go to Home Depot and get a big box or something, you can do that. It's got keyless start, which everybody should have. But it doesn't have remote start, which is, the Europeans don't really like that. I, on a cold morning that I'm going to go out in that vehicle, I like to have remote start. Also, if it's really hot and it's been sitting out in the sun, it's nice to have remote start and cool down a little bit before you get out there. It's got all the Mercedes Connect services, things like that. Safety-wise, this thing has, you know, LED headlights. Now, I had some options, so I have to jump around a little bit. It's got the attention assist system, active brake assist, anti-lock brakes, electronic stability control, brake assist, rear view camera. It's got the Mercedes version, which is their emergency call service, which is similar to OnStar. That's all cool. Now, some of the options that this vehicle had, if you go into this, which is what I talk about, I said a base price is this on this one is $38,600. Okay. The extra mountain gray metallic, which is a good looking gray, that cost $720. The black and red leather, it was black with the red inserts, good looking seats, that's an extra $1,450. The extra natural green black linden wood trim, another $325. Now, I had some of the AMG. If you know, guys, that AMG is their hot rod version. That's the company that takes Mercedes off the line before they even built and hot rods them. This doesn't have the AMG engine stuff or anything like that. It has AMG appearance packages. So you've got the special steering wheel, the AMG, another $360. The 20-inch wheels, which made it ride a little rough, but it looks pretty hot. You know, it looks good. Multi-spoke wheels that are black, that's $1,050. Heated and ventilated front seats, $1,030 extra. Panoramic sunroof, big sunroof. It really makes this feel a lot bigger than it is. That's $1,500. Suspension with adjustable dampening, which helps your handling if you're going to be rookie racer, $990. Sirius XM with the things like that is $460. The Burmeister surround sound system, really nice audio system. That's $850. The ambient lighting, okay, you can go and change it to 64 different colors, all the different ambient lighting in the car. It does look pretty luxurious. It's pretty cool. That's another $310. Wireless charging for your phone, which you kind of need it. Although it is in the cubby in the center console, there's not a lot of room for a bigger phone. If the guys have the Galaxy Note, stuff like that, it might not fit. That's $200. The driver assistance package, which is the active brake assist, cross-traffic alert, active distance assist, basically adaptive cruise control, active steering assist, active blind spot assist. So that means, they said it's active. That means it'll stop you if you see something there. It'll warn you if you're going to change lanes and somebody's there. If you're going to back out and somebody's coming across in a parking lot, it'll tell you. Sometimes it'll stop you. Also has active emergency stop assist, evasive steering assist. So if it sees you're going to have a wreck, it'll help you avoid it. It will steer you around it, which is amazing. Pre-Safe Plus route-based speed adaptation. So basically, I'm trying to explain this to you. This one is, if you set the cruise control at 75, like you're in Texas and you're driving down, and the speed changes to 55, it'll automatically change for you. Now, if you say I drive 5 miles an hour over the speed limit, because that's just what I like to do, then it'll drop it down to 5 miles an hour over the speed limit. It'll take that add-in. It's really kind of cool, especially because that's when you get tickets, is when you're not paying attention when the speed changes, okay? It's got extended restart and stop and go traffic, which is kind of cool. If it sees that the cabin is heated up and it's got the stop start option, it will, if you're in a stop and go traffic, it will not turn the engine off, which is nice. Well, that was all $2,250. The parking assistance package, which helps you active parking assist and all that stuff. And it's really nice. The surround view system where you can see that you're in the lines or you're backing up, and it's nice to have those cameras. That was another $1,090. Exterior lighting package with the active headlights, which means when you turn, they not only does a light flash to the side so you can see what you're turning into, but also your headlights articulate just a little bit. That was $400. The AMG body styling kit, which I don't know that you really need it, with the fancy perforated front disc and Mercedes steering and the special grille, that's $2,240. I probably wouldn't do that one. Premium package, which is the big center display, 10.25 inches center display, I would get that. That's another $1,650. That gives you the auto dimming rear view mirror and the side mirrors and all that kind of good stuff. So basically, this thing, once you really build it up the way most people would want it, would be about $58,000, and $58,520 to be exact. Now, that's sticker. You can get a better deal on this. Also, a lot of you guys are going to lease this. Either way, there's only one trim level, but you can add it to 4MATIC or not, so you can get all-wheel drive or not. That's about a $2,000 difference. This is not a big performance SUV. It's a really nice size. They're going to sell the hell out of these things. I think that if you're looking for a European luxury CUV that's midsize, you got to put this right there on your list. You know, the dealer service is really good. The car is nice. Fit and finish on this thing was amazing. There's a couple of things. I mean, the center console, the cup holders were kind of cramped and things like that. If you like to have the big cups, the big Yeti cups and stuff like that. But other than that, you've got to expect that on a midsize CUV. Like I said, it's nice. It's got, you know, the power lift gate. It's got all the goodies that everybody would want. It's Mercedes-Benz, for God's sake. It's going to have just about everything you want. I like it. I think that I wish the motor had a little bit more low-end torque, but that's a 2-liter, and you've got to live with that. Put it in sport mode, it does run great. So that's kind of nice. So check out the 2020 Mercedes-Benz GLB 250.